I'm just going to take a couple of minutes. Well, I'll take a little time. I'm going to be honest, because you can say Pastor Greg never takes a couple of minutes. I know I hear all the scuttlebutt. But I've been trained.
That's right.
And I stand next to my mommy.
That's
who says in a minute, if you finish before I do, you can leave. You may want to satisfy your stomach. I want you to satisfy your calling. Your calling, not my calling. Your calling. So what I'm going to share with you, if you need a heading, just write Standing on the Promises. You know, I've been listening. We experienced a prayer conference, oh my Jesus. And had the benefit of experiencing some meetings right after that at Christ Alive and then at Hudson Family Church with Reverends Kevin and Annie. And one of the things that I gleaned, and this was from Pastor Kevin, Reverend Kevin, when we say standing on the promises of God, we sometimes act like it's a punishment. See someone, what are you doing? I'm just standing. What do you mean? Well, I'm standing on the promises. Can't your face look like you are? But what does that mean, number one? And number two, do you know the promises? And what do you feel about them? What do you mean, what do you feel? Do you believe they're true? Does standing on the promises of God mean that those promises are bringing you through to victory? Does it mean that? Yes, it does. Why are you hesitating? See, that's why we have a problem standing on the promises. That's why the scripture says that he staggered not. Talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. But he gave glory to God, and he was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. So it's not a punishment. And when the people come in, and they're coming in, what are they going to see the church doing? What's the posture of the church going to be? When they overhear your conversations, what are they hearing? Child, I'm just standing on the word. I wish that word would come. I don't know how long I can take this anymore. Look at 2 Peter 1. There's something that I was thinking about. Passion Translation, 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. The result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So who cares what they're doing in the world? The magnificent promise of God causes us to escape it. It means it doesn't affect us. Hebrews 8, verse 6. But now, say now, has he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant which was established upon better promises. Now that doesn't mean anything or won't mean anything to you unless you know something about the previous promises. So you can appreciate it. God promised to deliver Israel. They were up against the Red Sea. Did that mean anything to God? No. What did he do? He parted the Red Sea. What we have is better than that. What we have is better. He said, we shall make our way prosperous and we shall have good success. He was talking to the Israelites in the Old Testament. We have better than that. He said, he used the term mighty man of valor. We're better than that. Better than that. He delivered from the fiery furnace. We have better than that. Much better than that. They had the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. We have better than that. The Old Testament saints had a very powerful covenant with God. And you know something? All the people around them knew it. How did they know it? Because they acted like they did. Most of the time, they had their moments. But the people knew. The Israelites are coming. We better get out of their way. We better leave them alone. Why? Their God fights for them. We have better than that. So these things have to stop just being words that we say, oh, I have a better covenant. You start thinking about what that means. Why doesn't the world show the proper respect to our Lord? Because they don't see him in action in our lives. Why? Because we're standing on the word. We're not standing on the word, standing on the promises, giving him glory, giving him praise, no matter what comes, and watching circumstances fall down as you step over them. I believe, because my spiritual father believed it also, but I found it to be true, I believe that we're going to walk past hospitals and people are just going to get up out of their beds and come out. Now, you can believe that or you can stagger. Why can I say that? Well, if the shadow of Peter passing over the people got them healed, then my shadow passing through hospitals should have the same effect. But I have to believe the same way that Peter believed. He stood. They didn't have the whole New Testament to read. All they had is what God said, what Jesus told them. These signs shall follow them that believe. You'll cast out devils. So why are we talking about how the devil's all over this city? Cast them out. Why do you want them around? I don't want the devil around. Why didn't you take away his invitation? Did you invite him? Are you in the habit of letting uninvited guests into your dwelling? So why are we allowing him to stay? It's just that simple. We have a better covenant established on better promises. Better. And the world should know that. During the old, there was a fear, a reverential fear of the God of Israel because of how he took care of his people. We have better than that. So everything, someone should open their mouth or try to open their mouth, Rose, and say something against you and say, ah, no, the Lord fights for her. And they do just what I'm doing. They start backing away. The Lord fights for her. He fights for you too. And it's time we started acting like, see, we're good at acting like we're fighting. We like that Abbott and Costello and Meets the Invisible Man movie. I think we can do it all on our own. And we get so beaten up, we can't even recognize ourselves. But let me tell you something about this person who promised. Hebrews 10:23 tells us to let's hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. And it tells us why. For he is faithful that promised. You know what causes wavering? A lack of faith. I'm sorry, but as our beloved Elder William used to say, I'm going to tell you like a T-I-Z it is. It's a lack of faith. How can I say that? Romans 4:22 says he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. What is unbelief? A lack of faith. In that scripture, listen to this. Staggered means to separate thoroughly. So he didn't separate himself from God because of unbelief when he heard the promise. He didn't put any distance between the promise and him because he just believed this is just way out there. No, faith closes the gap. You hear the promise, you hear the promise, you believe the promise. Connection. There may be bells and whistles, I don't know. But there's some things that are out, you can't allow anything God said to be so far out there you can't grab hold of it. Deuteronomy 30 says, the word which I've given you today is not too hard for you. It's not hard to do. The Amplified Bible, the Amplified Bible says it's not hard to do. It's not way out there that you can't grab it. It says it's nigh to you. It's in your heart so that you can do it. Say, I can do it. See, when in the natural, you know, whether you're male or female, you know if your body is past the age of normal child siring and child birthing. And you know you're well past that point in the natural. And God says, you're going to sire, you're going to give birth. Abraham didn't think, what? Well, how about the angel coming? You're a virgin. And the angel comes and says, you're going to have a child. And you're engaged, and you live it during a society where they don't celebrate having children out of wedlock. Instead, they stone the woman. I don't know why they don't stone the guy too, but that's another message for another time. But Mary never said, "Who's going to keep me safe from the people?" All she wanted to know was, how is this going to happen considering my current situation. I've never known a man. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. How are you going to handle things that come up when God tells you what he wants you to do? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. It will overshadow you. It will take over. And you will bring about a holy thing. What holy thing? What God told you you would bring about. That holy thing. But it's going to come by us getting locked in, firm on his promises. That's how we stand. Let me tell you one more thing about standing. You go, please, to Ephesians. While you're going to Ephesians, listen to this in Numbers. God is not a man, Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie. This is the Amplified Bible. Neither the Son of Man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Had he as he spoken and shall not make it good? So don't think for a minute. And that's an Old Testament verse. What we have is better than that. See, how can it be better? I don't know, but all I know is we have better. How do I know that? God said so. He said we have a better covenant. So if we're standing on the promises, we should be doing just what we were doing earlier during praise and worship. Shouting the victory. Giving God praise. Why? Because we believe that it's done. Not that it's going to happen. We believe that it is done. But we also have to understand this. Ephesians 6. We talk about it at you know, the scripture about the armor of God. Well, there's a reason. God gave us armor so we could stand the way he defines standing, so that we can operate in his promises no matter what's going on. He said, now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. So did I. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with Jesus. This is the Passion Translation. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Then he gives us some instructions, and the reason we're not standing is we're not following the instructions. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. He didn't say put it on so you can sit down and watch TV. Put it on so you're protected as you fight. As you keep moving forward. As you say everything he tells you to say and do everything he tells you to do. You need to have on his complete set of armor. And he lets you know that this fight is not from a distance. It says your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realm. That's who we're fighting against. The most powerful that the devil has. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. against the most power, against Satan's elite army. Say, his elite will face defeat because I believe every promise. We always, even if you think everything's going to be rosy, so I don't think I need my shield of faith today. Put on the complete set of armor. You have to be fully dressed. 1 Peter 5 says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch us napping. So you have to put on all the armor because that devil, one of his traits is he's an ambush predator. How many times do you come to, I didn't expect this. You walked into an ambush. Why did God let it happen? He didn't let it happen, you did. What do you mean I did? The Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. You weren't paying attention. That's why the scripture says, stay alert. He knows the lion's ready to pounce over there. And you start walking, la-da-da-da-da-da. And he's saying, don't go that way. I want you to go to the left. La-di-da-da-da-da. Pounce. God, why did this happen? You weren't alert. So we're not going to fall victim to ambush predators. Verse 14 of Ephesians 6. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Truth. About what? Who you are. Who he is. Where it is a belt. Might be walking along like the young homeboys and things be falling off. Wear a belt, keep it tightly fastened. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. It's so important that underneath that armor is a pure heart. We have to protect our heart. And understanding that we are holy will push out unforgiveness. Understanding that we're holy will allow compassion for the people to come in. Understanding that we're holy will keep us in line with in how God says his children should behave and speak. Holiness is a protective armor that covers our hearts. I never thought about it like in that text, in that light before. Holiness is a protective measure, device, action. It protects our heart. And the Bible says, guard well your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So holiness protects our life. Stand on your feet alert. Then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. The blessings of peace. Think about how you feel when everything's peaceful. In every battle, that lets us know that we're going to have to fight. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it, your faith, is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Faith shuts up the words, I can't take this anymore, from coming out of your mouth. Faith takes away, this is too hard. Faith will quench every single arrow fired at you. Faith will quench it. Doesn't mean the arrow's not going to come flying. You're going to see it. Here it comes. There it goes. And you start thinking, so I'm still standing. Because your faith is in place. And stop thinking you need more. If you needed more, God would have told you, get more faith, get it in a hurry. Understand what faith does. Understand what faith provides for you. And let faith do what faith does. Let faith do what faith does. You have enough faith for anything that you will ever face. You have enough faith. Say, I have enough faith. See, what's lacking sometimes is desire. We say, well, I don't know if I have faith for that. What you're saying is, I don't know if I want to do that. Because if you didn't have faith for it, God wouldn't tell you to do it. So in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. What? You can't do this. That's not what God meant. Now, really, you're an intelligent being. Does that make any sense to you? Lies. I didn't know my helmet was loose. I repent, Father. I'll make sure that helmet is tightly strapped around me. Protects my thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Now, I'm going to say something not to cause any conflict or controversy. But you got to change the way you have to change the way you think. We think, and it's been shared, that the sword out of the only part of the armor that's for offense. Every part of the armor is for offense, and every part of the armor is for defense. Every part. How are you going to advance if you're thinking about lies? It's because you know the truth, you go to fight. When I came out of the locker room, you know, these they don't know what swag is. They think they got to do all this crazy stuff. We just walked out. Eyes on the other team. Just walked out. Got in position. They come over to give you a high five. Yeah. And they're looking. What's the matter with them? We're ready for a fight. Not a physical fight. We're talking about a basketball game. But we're ready to do battle. And everything that the coach taught to us, every move, every strategy, every play, and every movement was designed for us to win. Not fall back on defense. What we did is we got you to play to fall back on defense and forget about scoring because you just didn't want to be beaten by 40 points. So when you put the armor of God on, it's for battle. It's for experiencing your victory over the enemy. Every piece. Because if you lose one piece, you go without one piece on, it's not going to go well with you. It's not. That's why Pastor Clinton said to me when I called him whining and complaining, I don't ever in life want to hear you say or talk about what the enemy's doing. That's what he's supposed to do because he's the devil. You need to start doing what you're supposed to do, and what the devil's doing won't matter. You got it? Yes, sir. And he never heard those words come out of my mouth again. Pray passionately in the spirit, as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. You're going out to battle. This is how I fight my battle. Thank you for my teachers. Thank you for my teachers, Lord. They've trained me. They told me how this armor fits in place. Tell them, Lord, button that armor up, boy. Okay, yes, sir. You don't want anything flying and falling off. Keep everything intact and in place. And when the enemy comes, step forward. That's an action, not a reaction. We are the children of the Most High God. And he has promised that the name of Jesus is above any name that is named. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Shout glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So standing, folks, is not a stationary position. We're full-time, prime-time players, soldiers. We're not one of those people on a 15-man team, you're number 15 in the rotation, you get in a game when it's hopelessly won or lost. No, you're prime time. Prime time. When the going gets tough, you're put right out there in it. Why? Because what you have is tougher. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the sun to the bone and marrow. It separates what's of God and what's not. And don't stop despising or stop thinking about where you think you are or your value. I was watching a program called Living Below Zero. So it's about living in Alaska. And this person shot a moose. And that moose had to sustain him, you know, through the winter. He got a very sharp knife, took the part of the leg that had the hooves of the moose on there, and started gently peeling them back. He said, what we're after is the gelatin. And you think about that and you go, ooh. He said, oh no, every part has value. And you need all of the moose. He said, not just the steaks and all that. He said, you need all of it. That's the way I feel about our armor. We need all of it. That's the way I feel about the promises. We need all of them. All of them. So we can sing, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest. I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. So before I finish, I want you to do one more thing for me. I want you to stand up and show me how you stand. What do you do when the battle gets tougher? The enemy sent in reinforcements. That's right. That's what the enemy needs to see. That's what the enemy needs to hear. And you have your armor on. We have our loins girded with the truth. When the enemy of our souls falls back before us, what do? We march on and on, arm in arm, with our armor on. We can hear the cannons roar. We can see the missiles flash as the enemy's fire comes against us. We're not fallen. Our ranks are not broken. We are victorious. Hallelujah. That's who we are. And this is how we fight our battles. And this is how we stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you, Lord, for manifesting yourself in our presence this morning and this afternoon. Lord, you opened our eyes. You opened our hearts. You opened our understanding. You filled us with additional wisdom. And now we're going to show you praise by walking in it. We know how to stand. And stand we will. Stand we will. We'll wait. And when you say go, we mount up with wings like eagles. And our spirits just soar. And we engage the enemy. We have to engage them to go through them, and go through them we will. We have our armor on, firmly in place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to stand. In Jesus' name, may the words that we heard fill our hearts with joy, our minds with understanding, and energize our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say, that's how I stand. Now, there's one very important connection. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father unless he comes through me. That's also a promise. You can get to the Father, but you got to go through Christ. And so it's very simple. The Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That means you acknowledge who Jesus is, you ask him to come into your heart, he comes. It's that simple. Yep, it's that simple. You don't have to say, oh, I wish I'd been in church to do that. You can do that right where you are. And I'm going to ask everyone to say this, whether you're saved or about to be saved. Say, Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for everyone's sins. That includes me. I believe he went to hell in my place. And I believe that after spending 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you. I believe you are who the Bible says you are. And I'm asking you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that confession for the first time and believed it, according to the Bible, you just got born again. That means Jesus has come to live in your heart. And the next thing you need to do is learn who you've become in Christ. We make it easy for you to do that. If you're here in this auditorium present, you know, raise your hand so the deacons or elders can see you. They're going to give you some free information about who you've become in Christ and talk to you about what the next step is for you. If you're out there online, just use the contact information and do the same thing. I made that confession with you, Pastor Greg. I'm born again. What do I do next? We will send you information. I promise you, we will send you information. And if you have any questions or comments about what we shared today, use the same contact information. Not just folks online, you folks here also. I will get back to you. It probably won't be the same day, but I will get back to you. But you just remember, God loves you. And we love you. And we want you to be victorious in Christ.